During the time that Jesus Christ walked the earth, there were two fundamental schools of Jewish thought. These were referred to as the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai. Although Jewish elders that originated these opposing schools of thought and interpretation of law were very close and good friends, their descendants and likewise their various adherents as time went on were bitter rivals. There are basic differences between these opposing schools of thought, and even today there's a great deal of confusion and difference of opinion concerning what these different schools actually believed and taught. But during the time of Jesus Christ and his apostles, there arose a great Jewish sage and teacher who commanded respect not only from both schools of this Jewish thought and interpretation, but from the Gentile world as well. We find this man, the esteemed grandson of Hillel the Elder, prominently mentioned in our New Testament. This man is none other than Gamaliel, who is found in Acts chapter 5. The title for today is Gamaliel, Jewish Sage and Scholar. Gamaliel was born the grandson of the author of the Hillel school, Hillel the Elder. Gamaliel is an ancient Hebrew name meaning the reward of God. It's believed that Gamaliel died sometime about 20 years before the destruction of the Second Temple in AD 70. The Mishnah is quoted as saying, "Since Rabban Gamaliel the Elder died, there has been no more reverence for the law, and purity and piety died out at the same time." Another source states, "With the death of Gamaliel, the heart of Judaism died with him." The intellectual capacity and sterling judgment of this man commanded such a following that often major decisions concerning the Sanhedrin were postponed and withheld until Gamaliel could present to offer his judgment or opinion on certain matters. Jewish tradition suggests that Gamaliel was very humble, possessed an abiding sense of fairness and justice and mercy. Gamaliel felt and taught that the doctrine and the law, judgment, should apply with equal weight to both men and women. Gamaliel is on record stating that the laws concerning adultery and divorce apply with equal weight towards men and women. Also stating that a woman was entitled to divorce as much as a man, and going further to suggest that a man was just as subject to the death penalty for adultery under the law as a woman. This is quite a profound statement concerning the culture of his day, and it's a testimony to his courage. This is in a time and a culture that regarded women as a little more than chattel. Jewish literature suggests that during his tenure, he published 3 epistles to the Jewish religious community, suggesting that he likely functioned as head of the Sanhedrin for at least a time. So we'll take a look at what the scriptures offer us today concerning this man. If you would please turn to Acts chapter 5. And here we find the apostles of God once again on trial by the Sanhedrin. Peter and the others made their famous statement saying, "We ought to obey God rather than men." We'll begin in verse 33. "When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves,'" that is, be careful, "what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you can't overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him. And they had called for the apostles and beaten them. Notice here, Gamaliel did not order the beating. They agreed with him, but they disobeyed. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We should ask a question here. What is the source of Gamaliel's wisdom? Why did he instruct his men to refrain from punishing these apostles? Was he speaking out of past experience in this fleshly life? Was he gripped by indecision concerning these apostles and the message they brought? Perhaps he was motivated politically, aiming to put these decisions off until the social climate had cooled a little bit. These are the kinds of things we find today, the kind of decision-making we find today. But if we look a little deeper, we'll discover that the source of his knowledge, his wisdom, his information was based on the scriptures. If you would please turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. Chapter 18 will begin in verse 10. We find this written. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall, his own esteem. The value of a good name. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. Gamaliel knew on this issue he had to have all the facts. He also knew he must not act or answer out of a spirit of haughtiness or high-mindedness. Not turning there, but in Proverbs 25 and verse 11, we find this written. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Gamaliel also knew that not only was the careful choice of words very important when rendering judgment, but how they are used as well. The book of Job in chapter 42 and verse 2, we find recorded that no purpose or plan of God can be thwarted. This is for me very comforting, because man, if he wants, can blow this planet to a cinder. But God's plan and his kingdom will come, regardless of what man or Satan can do to prevent it. Gamaliel, being a teacher of the law, doubtless knew of these passages. But there's another passage of scripture that this man may have even heard firsthand with his own ears. You would please now turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. A ravenous wolf is a starving animal, A wolf is vicious by nature. A ravenous wolf will eat you alive. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Often the truths given us by God are compared to agriculture and things that grow. A fruit-bearing plant may be very evident, but whether it will actually bear fruit or the kind of fruit it will bear is not known at the beginning. It takes a little time. Sometimes one must wait to know the true outcome of things. Gamaliel knew to wait on the fruits. He may have deduced this from Scripture, which is true. He may also have been going by what he saw and heard firsthand with his own eyes and ears. This visit by the apostles may well not have been his first encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. We find Gamaliel a shining example of a wise and prudent teacher, a man of honor, patience, and humility. The Apostle Paul himself boldly declares that he was a student of this man, Gamaliel, Acts 22 and verse 3. Paul obviously placed a very high value on this teaching by Gamaliel because the phrase "at his feet" suggests a close personal relationship with his teacher, where the young Saul of Tarsus was willingly under his authority. We also find something else. Gamaliel, the teacher, was himself a product of something greater than he. He was a product of a life spent immersed in God's truth, an ardent student and scholar of God's law. If you would please turn to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Beginning here in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We should notice here that the word of God will change a person if it is applied in their life. There is no qualifier here for actual conversion for this to happen. A person can be uncalled and unconverted and still reap a lot of the benefits of God's law to a certain extent. True, repentance and baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is required for eternal life. However, a person, although uncalled, can still reap a lot of the benefits. We find this with Gamaliel. Although he is dead, Gamaliel offers testimony that still lives. So what can we learn from this? First, we can learn that judgment should be approached carefully, without bias. We should gather all the facts on the matter if possible. Sometimes it's best to withhold judgment or opinion and wait on the fruits. Judgment should always be tempered with mercy. A man or a woman, if not careful, can find themselves in the position of being certain that they're right, but actually in opposition to God. And further on in the book of Acts, we find that the Apostle Paul plainly states that he himself was once in that position, Technically, he was right. Many times the law of God was on his side, but in practice, he was fighting against God. Not turning there, but in James 2 and verse 12, we find this written. So speak and so do, as those who will be judged, not those who will judge, but those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Finally, James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Matthew 23 and 23, we find these words of Jesus Christ. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe, mint, and anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. We find Gamaliel an example of mercy and good judgment, a man who spent his life in pursuit of the truth of God. This propelled him to a position of prominence in the Jewish community. His methods and teachings even helped to shape the young life of the Apostle Paul, who under the influence of the Holy Spirit has given us most of the New Testament. All of this without conversion and without receiving the Holy Spirit of God, as far as we know. All of the evidence seems to point that it's doubtful that Gamaliel was ever converted. How much greater can the power of God work in our lives who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God? We, after all, are called to be teachers, like Gamaliel, priests, and kings. Not minimizing Gamaliel's contributions to humankind, but this calling that we have is of much greater importance and magnitude than the service of Gamaliel. Not that there's any greatness in us, but this is the calling that we have been given by God. As it is written in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? So let us, like Gamaliel, zealously pursue judgment, mercy, and faith.